by the grace of God. It's Priscilla's birthday today, 4 July.
Is that right? I forgot about that. She was born on our Independence Day.
Yes, on the smile of each and everyone in the family, smiling and thanking the Lord for her life in the home.
Well, I'm thankful. You know, every day the Lord gives is a mercy. I just got word yesterday of a couple that I know have known ever since I was back in college, but they had a 35-year-old daughter that the Lord took out suddenly and left a 5-year-old child and her husband. So while some rejoice, you know, in birth and life, others are weeping, mourning, but you know, we know that He does His will. And the most important thing is when those times come, give us grace to bow.
Wow, that's bad news, and may we just commend them to the arms of the Lord. As you have been saying and encouraging, to it is the sovereign will of God to decide what He wants to do with our lives. We don't live on our own. We live by Him.
Amen. Yes, that's, I believe, the real test of whether or not in our hearts the Lord has done a work of grace, when we can bow, not just in things where they go the way we want, but in matters that are contrary to this flesh and that the world cannot understand and even will mock. I know when I was in Africa and the Lord took two of our children years ago, the Lord gave Mary and me the scripture in Psalm 115, verses 1 through 3, and that has continued to be scripture that has sustained me through the years, no matter what the conflict, that not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give the glory.
That's right. That's
and when the heathen say,
right, yes,
where now is your God? David said, our God is in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And that's all we need to say. You know, when the Lord gives grace to bow, that's it. And we don't do it fretfully. We don't do it angrily. He gives the grace to bow. I've found that in my experience, even in those areas where we would direct our path otherwise, He reminds us that we're not directing our path, and that even in the hard way, the rocky way, that it is Him that is leading, and He will never do anything that is contrary to His wisdom or even His mercy and grace for His own. And I believe that's why even in Leviticus 10, when the Lord took out Aaron's sons because of their rebellion, they had offered strange fire, and the Lord killed them, that it says Aaron held his peace. He was silent before the Lord, just like Job. You know, he sinned not with his mouth, even though there were difficult days, but he sinned not with his mouth, but bowed in worship, it says. And that's my prayer, that the Lord would grant us that grace at all times.
Yeah. But you know, that's the area of the gospel of grace where you come to know exactly the will of God in a circumstance that before someone. Because in the messages of the religious at works, when somebody is admitted, is sick, or somewhere has just happened, whether it's a road accident, whatsoever, somebody has gone, it's like sometimes you begin to condemn God, rebuke Him. Maybe you think He hasn't done His work.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to accuse the Lord. Why me, God? Why has He gone? Why this time? Why that one? Why this? Why me? So on and so forth. And at the end of the day, you live very frustrated life. And more importantly, sometimes when you are maybe in the hospital, they come to visit you. Instead of comforting you with the word of God and encouragement, sometimes they give false hope
mm-hmm.
Messages which are not even of the Lord. They say, okay, you know, your brother will be healed. That's what they speak, and they pray a prayer only siding that someone who is sick today will be healed. And when that somebody is not healed and instead is dead, it's like the pastor who prayed and insisted that he will be healed, he will be healed, he will be healed. It's like maybe he doesn't have power to change God's judgment or death whatsoever. At the end of the day, then you think that this God has done me harshly. Yeah. So, but the gospel of grace will always accommodate your life and put us in a position of understanding the will of God in every situation. Instead of blaming God in some cases, or many cases, in all cases that come before us.
Yes. Well, it's a wrong God that they have. They have a God that is changeable. In fact, in the study that we're going to look at today in Acts chapter 3, where it speaks of all things fulfilled. Now, when you read scripture from that perspective, knowing that it's God's word and he has revealed what he has purposed to do through time and eternity, then when you understand that everything is unfolding exactly as he has purposed, then there's no false expectation, because you realize that all things are from his hand and the word is our guide. But religious people don't have that God. They don't have that knowledge. Their God is ever changing. They've been told that if you just pray enough, if you just give enough, if you just witness enough, then God's going to do this, this, and this. And then when it doesn't happen, they think, well, I didn't pray enough. I didn't give enough. You see, works,
I didn't pray. I didn't give enough.
Yeah, didn't have enough faith. Works religion is never satisfied. Like the children of Israel in Egypt, you know, when Pharaoh insisted that they make bricks, but then noticed that they still had time to go home and have babies, and the children of Israel were multiplying, then he added more duty. He said, now, not only will you make the same number of bricks every day, but you have to go out and gather your own straw. And that's the way works religion is. It's never satisfied. And when things happen, that's how it's psychology. It's false psychology, but people will kind of say, well, what you need to do is just be more committed to the Lord and pray more.
Pray more.
It's
give more.
Yes, it's a false view. There's a settling. There's a resting in knowing that all things are of his hand. And there's no, that word we use, accident, but there aren't any accidents. We ought to get rid of that in our vocabulary. There's no event that takes place, what they call chance, by chance. No. Proverbs 16 says the lot is cast into the lap. Just like people, I don't know if they play dice over there, but you roll the dice. Whatever that number is that comes up, it says in scripture, the disposing thereof is of the Lord. There's not a decision made, but what he has determined, whether we think it's a good, bad, or otherwise. And we, by God's grace, even looking back on our path, we dare not think, well, if I would have just done this, or if I could have just done that. See, that's that reasoning of the flesh, that the Lord, by his grace, has to bring us again to bow and see, no, as crooked as that path may seem or has been, the Lord purposed it. And even as crooked as the path ahead may seem, the Lord is directing, and he will accomplish his will. I'll tell you, that's settling for me. And I know some people might call that fatalism, but it's not. It's a resting in who God is. And if we have any reason to ask the question why, it's not why God. You see, that's rebellion. That's the flesh. But like David said in Psalm 42:5, speaking of his own soul, He said, "Why art thou cast mm-hmm. down, O my soul?" That ought to be where the question is. Mm-hmm. Why am I in this state of mind as if I'm an unbeliever or a rebel? And he went on to say, "Why art thou disquieted in me?" And then he says, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." In other words, as yeah. he gives grace, I'll praise him. And certainly, yeah. that's what we do.
Wow. That's encouraging. Words of encouragement. Words of encouragement. Well, thank you. So how is Shreveport there?
We are doing well. The threat of mm-hmm. flooding has subsided, although the river is still very high. Different mm-hmm. places where there are wow. bridges that are lower, the water is still barely passing underneath those bridges. A lot of people that mm-hmm. have lived along the river are still displaced, and they're saying it may be till August yep. or September before the river subsides. But then when you think the current is just unbelievably fast right now, and it's changing the channel of the river. So even that, the Lord's purposing. And we'll see how it all
yeah,
ends.
But
we're doing well. And as one preacher said, anything this side of hell is a mercy. The fact that God gives
it is.
Breath to even mm-hmm. the reprobate is a mercy.
It is the mercy of God, yeah, yeah. Okay, we are so all in prayers with those people there. May the Lord purposes his direction, and he knows how he will save them from the calamities. We are in support 20 minutes past 3. Malawi is in the time of republic now. It's 51 years of independence. You tell me, I was hearing yesterday as they were closing the parliament in Malawi. Do you have a church paying taxes in America?
No, we're tax exempt for now. It is something that mm-hmm. is being debated by the current government, particularly since a mm-hmm. lot of these so-called churches, I would say congregations, are political.
Congregations, yeah.
The preachers mm-hmm. and leaders of these organizations are political. They're promoting certain candidates, and even some mm-hmm. that have accepted monies from the government for different things. And as soon as you do that, mm-hmm. you expose yourself then to the authority of the government to come in and do whatever. But our congregation is autonomous. We've never accepted a dime of government money. When I preach, my message is not political. If it happens to be a portion that touches on government or kings, we know what the scripture says. It says, "Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's." To pray for those in authority. When Paul wrote that to Timothy, the worst dictator in the world was in power. That was Nero. The Roman persecuted the believers back in the first century. And yet, Paul said to pray for those in authority that we might live a quiet and peaceful life. So, we don't. Are they requiring you to pay some taxes there?
Yeah, the debate was there yesterday. In fact, it was not a debate, but I think it was a bill which was passed yesterday, which just got without proper debating. Government just introduced that bill yesterday within about, about 13 to 18 minutes. It was passed because those who debated were just four MPs, but all of them, they pointed out to government that if we start taxing churches, then we are not doing justice, because in Malawi, schools and the hospitals and other developments are provided by churches. So instead of taxing them, we should look other somewhere to get money It's because the government has introduced everything now as a tax. Right from 1st July, they have increased taxes in the airtime, internet services, SMSs. If you want to send SMS to somebody, it has gone 10% high. Internet. Right now, I was trying to check my internet from this Sunday. It has just gone up. So they have just introduced every taxes because the government is not getting any aid from anywhere because of the corruption and governments outside there. They have boycotted our country that they will not give aid. So they are trying to run their budget, which they call zero aid budget, which they are not getting any aid from anywhere. And as a result of that, there are lots and lots of taxes and VAT and almost everything that is sold. So they say churches too. You know those people, they make money. They make a lot of money in the churches. Some of them, they are buying big lands, building big houses, churches and so on and so forth. And the others are running big businesses. But in some way, somehow, they are quite true because there are some churches who are running business and big business, like yes. schools, yes. hospitals, yes. and other things. Yeah.
Well, I'm convinced that that's the reason. It's the beast and the false prophet of Revelation where they're joined together.
Mm.
And I'm confident that a number of those leaders of those organizations, religious organizations, are involved in politics. And so the government looks at that and sees how much money they could be getting by taxing them. I'm prayerful. You know, it's hard to tax a pot that is empty. We live day to day as the Lord's people. And I think that when it comes down to something like that, in many ways, they'll maybe set a limit. That if a certain amount of money is brought in over and above this amount, that amount would be taxed. I don't know. It's interesting. Our congregation here, we registered with the state and local officials, so we're official. We have the property in the church name, although it's really three of us that are trustees of this property. So if anything happened, we would be accountable. But when I went to get some inspections done in order for us to meet here, they asked me, well, how many congregants do you have? And I said, well, I don't know. It varies. I said, it's like a family. Sometimes all the kids show up for a meal and sometimes only a few. I never know from week to week. And they said, well, do you have any kind of official registry with names? I said, no, we don't keep a church roll. I said, the true church, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's in heaven, and I don't have access to that. And so they said, well, would you say that you have more than 50 consistently attending? And I said, no, I can't say that. When you say consistently... So they said, well, by law, you're not even liable to our restrictions because we can only consider you an official church if you have over 50 members. So I said, okay. And they said, if that ever changes, let us know. I said, I will. So we've been 20 years. At some one time we ballooned up. I don't take count. So how do you know when you're over 50? We're not counting heads. Like some of these others, but you know, we file our paperwork and we're tax exempt. People that donate, they get a tax write off if they want to. We send them statements at the end of the year, but you know, the Lord has protected us and given us, liberty, which is what he says to pray for. And I've never had somebody show up here and knock on the door and tell me to stop preaching, but, and even on the radio, I'm amazed. Our radio broadcast, it's on a very popular station here in Shreveport that has a wide listening audience. And right at 9 o'clock every Sunday, the secular programming stops and we are the only broadcast on there that for 30 minutes is nothing but the gospel. And, you know, I've had people say, well, why are you on a secular station? Well, because they don't pretend to be religious. And, you know, it may be that the Lord has some sheep.
No, it's, it goes with time. If God purposes in the future that you should own a radio station, I think that would be okay. But, this time, I think it's enough what we are doing, and the message is spreading, it's going in many, many places. And we think that, this is just the beginning. From now, even here in Malawi, in Africa, there will be many people who will be listening to this, because every time the Lord is, devising us how we can make a good use of this opportunity, how they can get these messages. And even the radios in Malawi, there are lots of them. Others, it's just a matter of time. Others are just giving us, just wait, we are going to tell you what to do, because they are trying to adjust the prices. And I've been negotiating with the two radios. They say, okay, they have got their free time, but their free time you cannot dictate, because it's the station that runs. Sometimes they can put your program midnight, so that would be awkward, because that time maybe everybody's at bed. But if you want a time that is set aside for you, that means you need to put about 9 o'clock or maybe 7 o'clock in the evening, when almost everybody is at home and listening to the radio. We are waiting on some few people who are saying we are just waiting to see the time when we can allocate a good time and a better charges for that. So as the Lord directs, if the Lord says it's now, then we'll be taking these messages. That's why I've been recording some our local messages. And even though most of the messages that were recorded, downloaded on my computer, were stolen together with the laptop, I have started now downloading those new messages using the new computer, so that I may have most of those I missed, especially your messages. But mine, I think they are gone for good, because the recorders and the computer, all of them are gone, so I may not recover them. But your messages, I think I may have them. If I go back to the sermon audio, I may reload them and have them once more.
Yeah, if it's costing you to download, if it's costing you to download those, let me know, because I'll just put them on a disc or an MP3 and send them over to you. That would be, that way you don't have to pay costs for downloading. But definitely, if they're offering you a free space and you have the opportunity, I would go ahead and take advantage of the free space. Many times we think, well, that's not a good time, but it may be, especially if it doesn't cost anything, that one of the Lord's sheep, the Lord would cause to hear at that time. And, if it doesn't cost anything. And then from there, as the message is heard, it may be, as I've found over the years, the Lord touches the hearts of some who have the means to give, and they're blessed, and they give so that you can then go on to other stations and whatnot to be able to broadcast. So as the Lord directs, I know He is, and you know, He's given you that wisdom. You're the man on the spot there. We look at these things from a distance over here, but you live it every day, and we're prayerful for you.